ABC Radio Australia.
Much has certainly been said about the amount of money that China's been lending to the Pacific, with critics accusing it of so-called debt trap diplomacy. But experts have now looked at the evidence and they've concluded that those kinds of accusations are over the top. They found that Beijing has, at least so far, not engaged in the practice deliberately. But they're warning that looking forward, there certainly are risks of debt levels becoming unsustainable, particularly for countries like Tonga and Vanuatu. And they're recommending that China introduce and also stick to some strict rules about exactly who they can lend to. Now, the report was produced by the Australian think tank, the Lowy Institute, and their economist, Roland Raja, was one of the authors. I spoke with him earlier.
I think we give a fairly more nuanced answer on this China debt trap question. And so, you know, on the one hand, when we look backwards at China's lending behaviour in the Pacific to date, we would argue that that hasn't been, you know, so problematic that you would go as far as to call it debt trap diplomacy. That's on its performance to date. But then when we look forward, on the other hand, we do think that Chinese lending does pose clear risks to Pacific debt sustainability. And that's due to the sheer scale of China's lending activities, the fact that a number of Pacific countries really don't have much more space to take on additional debt, and the fact that China itself lacks what we would think are clear and strong rules to prevent potentially unsustainable loans from going through. So for those three reasons, the combination of those factors, we still do think that Chinese lending activities in the region do pose risks looking to the future, just not yet.
And exactly that. We are seeing it obviously growing its influence and the amount of money that it has been loaning. We're seeing just this week China hosting or co-hosting a summit in Samoa where it is all about talking about projects under this Belt and Road Initiative, that program of the Chinese government to get major infrastructure projects built all over the world, including Pacific nations that have signed up for it. And a lot of these projects are financed through loans from Chinese state-owned banks. So you're essentially saying in the future, the more of these deals that are done, some countries are putting themselves at more risk. What countries particularly are you worried about?
Well, the countries that are in the most precarious position would be Samoa, Vanuatu, and Tonga. And according to our analysis, and it is always hard because the data on Chinese lending worldwide is quite limited, but from the data that we've been able to compile, Samoa, Vanuatu, and Tonga are among the most heavily indebted countries to China anywhere in the world, around basically in the top 10. So for those countries, they've basically got debt to GDP at around about 50% at this point in time. You know, there's no point at which you would say, yes, when you go over this certain line, you're definitely going to experience problems. But once you start to get significantly above that, the risks start to get much higher. And that's the danger with Chinese loans, because they don't tend to just tip in a little bit of extra loans when they do it. They tend to tip in a lot. And so then if you add on a lot of debt on top of a situation where you already got a fairly large stockpile, then you're obviously at a running higher risk of running into trouble.
What about countries like Solomon Islands and Kiribati, which have just made recently the switch to recognising China? And we're already seeing China officials in Solomon Islands scouting around, looking at what the major infrastructure projects might be that they would help finance. What position is Solomon Islands, for example, in?
Yeah, well, Solomon Islands and Kiribati are actually quite a different position to say, Samoa, Tonga and Vanuatu. And this is why it's important, the way I would put it, is that we want to get away from talking about a blanket warning about debt trap diplomacy from China, and instead talking about the specific situations in particular countries. So when you look at Solomon Islands and Kiribati, they're in a much stronger debt position. Debt in Solomon Islands is a little over 10% of GDP, and it's around 20% of GDP in Kiribati. These countries do have scope to take on, theoretically, quite a large amount of debt without necessarily running into problems. Not that you necessarily want them to do that either. And they also have very substantial development needs. At the end of the day, you know, Solomon Islands is very concerned about finding new sources of economic growth, which are not unsustainable logging. And for Kiribati, you know, they're one of the most vulnerable countries in the world to climate change. They have huge climate change adaptation requirements, and that means, you know, climate-proofing infrastructure. And so if you have a relatively low debt level and you can afford to take on what will probably be fairly concessional Chinese loans if they're going to provide loans, and you've got high needs, then you can understand why countries like Solomon Islands and Kiribati aren't going to be deterred by warnings about debt trap diplomacy.